Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Hi, everyone. It's Amy Newmark, and I'm off for the 4th of July week, but I've chosen three classic episodes for you that I think are perfect for this week when we're remembering exactly why we love our country. I'll see you next week with new episodes.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Changing your life one story at a time. This is the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast with Editor-in-Chief Amy Newmark.
Hey, it's Amy Newmark with your daily dose of Chicken Soup for the Soul inspiration. It's Friend Friday, and that means we get to talk to someone very special from the Chicken Soup for the Soul family. Today, it's Dean Karnazes, who co-authored Chicken Soup for the Soul Runners with me and also has a story in our new book, Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Spirit of America. Now, if you haven't heard of Dean, you're really missing out. Dean was called one of the fittest men on the planet by Men's Health magazine. He is a running legend. He has run 350 miles without rest. He's probably the first person to eat an entire pizza while running. And by the way, he ordered the pizza while running, received delivery of the pizza while running, and then ate the pizza while running. He ran a marathon that ended at the South Pole. He ran across Death Valley in 120-degree heat. And you have to look at some of the videos of Dean. You'll see him confounding doctors, running on a treadmill where the doctors watch his lactic acid go down instead of going up. He's done all kinds of crazy things that don't even seem possible for a human being. And we'll talk more about that later. But most importantly, Dean is a husband, a father, a son. He's a big family man, and he's incredibly nice. So welcome, Dean, to the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for the very gracious introduction. You know, the one thing you forgot is also that I'm a big Chicken Soup for the Soul fan. So I'm honored to be on your podcast, Amy.
Oh, well, thanks. I hope that you read the books while you run.
I do. I listen to them.
You can listen to the audiobook of the book we made together, the Chicken Soup for the Soul Runner's Book, because that is available as an audiobook, and it does very well. So here's the thing I left out of your bio, but when I talk to people about you, this is the thing I actually tell them. I say, this crazy man ran 50 marathons in 50 states in 50 consecutive days, and that's the subject of the story that you and your son Nicholas wrote for our Spirit of America book. So would you mind telling our audience how that crazy thing came about?
Crazy, I think, is a good word for it. Crazy, but wonderful as well. I speak at a lot of different running events. And after one talk I gave about, it was a marathon, a guy came up to me and said, you know, I've run 50 marathons in all 50 of the U.S. states, and there's a club of us. And it just was amazing to me. I thought, you've seen the entire United States, every single state, and you've literally run through those states. And he said, yes, I have. And I said, well, how long did it take you to accomplish this goal? And he said, it took me 7 years. And I thought, oh, I don't have 7 years of my life to dedicate to this. I've got two young kids, and they've got a summer break that's about 50 days long. So I have to compress things. And I really wanted to take my family along. I thought it just would make the trip so much more meaningful if they joined me. So my mother's a retired middle school teacher, And she really, what they call road schooled the kids. So the schools, when my kids were traveling with me, they would they'd email my mother the lesson plan for the week on Sunday nights. And as we were traveling around the country, she'd administer the lesson plans, and the kids would get to meet, you know, kids from across the country in all 50 states, you know, sample the foods. And as the story is told in the upcoming book, also run with me. In fact, my son Nicholas decided on his 9th birthday, which just so happened coincided with the Green Bay, Wisconsin Marathon, he decided he was going to run the last 9 miles of the marathon to celebrate his 9th birthday with me. And that was a memory I'll never forget.
That's very cool. I know one of the stories that you gave us for the runner's book was about running with one of your children, which is why I say you're such a family man, because that's what you really wanted to write about in the Chicken Soup for the Soul runner's book.
Well, I love my kids, and they're, you know, my number one priority. And, you know, as well, I love that they're active. And, you know, being a big runner myself is kind of a precarious position as a father, because you don't want to push it on your kids. I kind of fear the backlash, but they see my passion for what I do, and they've naturally become passionate runners themselves. And, you know, if they decide to pursue running, that's great. If not, that's fine as well. I just want them to do what they love.
So when you ran through all 50 states in those 50 days, you must have come away with a really intense American experience. I mean, what was it like? We're such a large country with so much variety in our geography and our people. So what were some of the takeaways from doing that?
Well, you know, you'd think that perhaps the days would just kind of melt together and you'd kind of just kind of be a blur. And just the opposite is true. I literally remember, even to this day, and it's been almost 10 years since I did that, I remember every single marathon. I remember the people I talked with. I remember the places we stayed, the restaurants we ate at, with crystal clarity, which is really remarkable, isn't it? But, I mean, it's just imprinted on my mind as though it was yesterday. And the thing I really found profound was that in 50 days, there's no dilution between each state. You know, if you visit one state and 5 years later you come back to another state, you might have kind of forgotten about the first state and not really noticed the contrast as sharply as if you're there the very next day. So the thing that really struck me was, one, how varied our climate is. I mean, as you know, being on the East Coast, the humidity is different. The foliage is different. You know, the bugs are different versus the West Coast versus, you know, the Southwest, which is very arid, like a desert. So just the incredible geographic diversity was one thing, and climatic diversity was another thing. And the other striking difference between the states is, you know, the regional accents and food choices. And we, you know, we hear about these things, but until you get out there and really sample it, it's amazing how different certain areas are across our country. I travel across the world, and you notice these sort of regional differences when you go to different countries. But usually, you know, even within areas of Europe, it's almost more homogenous than the U.S. when it comes to our differences. You know, and how it is that you're able to cross a border from Texas, you know, to Mississippi or Oklahoma, and all of a sudden people speak differently. It's just remarkable, because it's, you know, a border is what? I mean, it's just kind of an arbitrary line.
That is interesting that you see it's like flash cutting to a new culture, just crossing the border, even though it's a matter of miles.
And, you know, when you get to New York City, there's a separate universe unto itself, as you know.
That's where we are right now. We're talking to you from the great New York City, right in the heart of the city, 50th between Broadway and 7th Avenue.
I know it well. In fact, I run the New York City Marathon every year, and, you know, the finish line is not far from that spot.
Yeah. So, you know, what's I think will be fun to tell our listeners is how you and I met, because I was putting together the book for runners, but I didn't have an expert yet. I didn't have somebody to join me on the book cover and to help me get the right stories for the book. And my son, who was a triathlete, said to me, "Mom, you have to get this guy, Dean Karnazes. He would be really fabulous." I said, "Well, I've never heard of him, because I don't think I've run 26 miles in my life. I'm a walker." So I opened up my computer right after I spoke to my son, and I was looking at the stories that were submitted for our runner's book. And there, in all capital letters, it said Dean Karnazes. And I just couldn't believe it. I had just talked to my son. He had said, you have to get this guy. And I said, well, I'll never get this guy. And then there you were. You were there. And it was amazing. I think that was the story that you submitted about running with one of your children. And so I remember I wrote to you and I said, your story is in, and how would you like to go on the cover of the book with me? And that's how this whole great relationship started. And boy, did you get us some great stories for that book. But I think what struck me the most about that book was the stories from people who had never run and who started out like trying to walk a 5K and then trying to run a few steps and then walk and alternate running and walking. And it transformed their lives when they became fit. Do you remember those stories? It was awesome.
Oh, the stories never go away. And to me, that's the greatest reward ever. I mean, no amount of money can ever, it can never have the same impact as someone saying to you, you changed my life. I read your story. And that day I bought some running shoes and I started walking first. And, now I'm going to run my first 10K. I mean, to me, that's invaluable. And I hear that so much from that book, the impact they had on people. And I think it's approachable. The stories are motivational, they're inspirational, and it humanizes running, because it can be intimidating for people that are just getting going. And to hear the stories about how other people struggled and some of their trials and tribulations, I think it makes it relatable and it makes it approachable. And that has really had a profound impact on a lot of people's lives. And that makes me so proud. I'm sure it makes you proud as well, Amy.
It does. It definitely does. And I just remembered the story that you wrote for one of our other books about how you started running. Remember on that birthday? Can you tell everybody that story? Because that was pretty amazing.
Well, let me digress back to my childhood, because I used to love to run when I was a child. Some of my earliest memories are running home from kindergarten. But when I got into high school, I stopped running altogether. And then I, went through college and then graduate school and then business school. And I had this, this cush corporate job in San Francisco, and I was miserable. I thought if I kind of followed this prescribed route to success, I'd find happiness. And I was so content, I was miserable. And I didn't know what to do. And on the night of my 30th birthday, I was in a bar doing what you do on your 30th birthday. I was drinking with my buddies, and at 11 o'clock at night, I had this epiphany. I thought, I've got to leave. I've got to go, and I've got to run. So I announced to them, hey, guys, I'm leaving. And they said, what do you mean? Let's have another round of tequila. It's only 11 o'clock at night. I said, no, I'm gonna go run 30 miles right now to celebrate my 30th birthday. And they laughed at me. They said, you're not a runner. You're drunk. And I was, but I just remember the passion that running used to bring to me as a child. So I literally walked out of that bar on my 30th birthday, three sheets to the wind, and ran 30 miles that night to celebrate.
That's incredible. That really is. So what's going on in your life now? What new crazy things are you doing?
Gee, thanks. I've always got something, don't I? So, I'm planning to do exactly what I did in the U.S. with the 50 states and 50 marathons in 50 days, but to do this globally. So to run a marathon in every single country of the world in a one-year time frame. So there are 204 recognized U.N. countries, and I want to run a marathon in each and every one of them in the span of a single year. And so I'm working with the U.S. State Department to get passports and permits into all of these countries so that I can do this. And I'm hoping to launch in 2017, next year.
Wow. Do you have a corporate sponsor yet who you can mention to us?
I'm talking to a couple different companies, but actually Colgate is a company that I'm most tied into right now. And they have an initiative about water and clean water and providing clean water and access to water to the globe. And that's a very important initiative for them. And that's something that I believe in as well. So they might be the one. And, of course, the North Face will play a role. And Fitbit, which is a new sponsor of mine that I'm working with very closely as well.
That is great. I can't wait to see you do that. And I know you'll pull it off.
Pick a country and come join me.
Yeah. Yeah, that is really cool. Well, listen, Dean, thank you for joining us today. You are always so inspirational, so much fun. I remember having my photo taken with you a few years ago, and I felt like a scrawny little nothing. You're so muscular. It's really incredible how fit you are.
You run a couple thousand miles a year, and look what happens. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, thanks, Dean Karnazes, for being on the Chicken Soup for the Soul podcast. I'm Amy Newmark. Thanks for listening to us today. And the next time we get together, I'm going to tell you a couple more stories from Chicken Soup for the Soul, The Spirit of America, the one that Dean is in. And these stories are going to be about the good old red, white, and blue, just in time for Flag Day. And if you want to learn more about the book that Dean and I co-authored a few years ago, Chicken Soup for the Soul Runners, which is available in print, as an ebook, and as an audiobook, you can go to our website, chickensoup.com.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.